from Romans 5, 1 through 11. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man with one died, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, your day, Sunday, to fellowship in thy house. You charge the Hosepian family who do their job very well. Bless them each and every day. Give them the strength to carry out thy will. In your holy and blessed name we pray. Amen.
The title of the message this morning says, or is, Peddlers of Happiness. Now, after I wrote that, I just said, should I explain what a peddler is? Or they will get it at the end of the message, and I hope you will. Find out what exactly a peddler of happiness can be, or who can be. Daily, promises are made. Promises. Buy this phone and your life will change. Feel better. Look your best. Buy this product and achieve your personal best. You deserve it. If you haven't discovered yet the meaning of life, all you have to do is watch our program. Are you searching for joy and security? Come and join our club. Do you want to look 20 years younger? Use our product. These are only a few examples of thousands of ads and promises you may hear daily. No matter who you are or where you are in one way or another exposed to advertisements and sales pitches, promises and gimmicks of all kinds. These may be direct or indirect subliminal messages promising you more joy, more pleasure, more leisure time and happiness. But listen to what Britain's chief rabbi said in the Gazette. I just read it in the Gazette, November the 19th, yesterday, Gazette. Peddlers promise happiness as the title. And yet, listen what he said. This is a very recent statement he made. Yet, this I'll read it later. I have it right here. I'm ready now. London Daily Telegraph. London. The late Steve Jobs helped create a selfish consumer culture that has only brought unhappiness, Britain's chief rabbi says. The consumer society was laid down by the late Steve Jobs coming down the mountain with two tablets, iPad 1 and iPad 2. And the result is that we now have culture, a culture of iPad, iPhone, iTunes, I. You have got an iPhone, you have got an iPhone, but you haven't got a fourth generation one. The consumer society is, in fact, the most efficient mechanism ever devised for the creation and distribution of unhappiness. Unless we get back to these values, we will succeed in making our children and grandchildren ever, ever unhappier, he said. End of quote. Yet, George Carlin says that the opposite is true when it comes to happiness, meaning the opposite is true of these promises. When everyone says, this is good, buy it for yourself. As well, let me share this. My wife and I, about a month ago, had this experience. This older man came, gray hair, good looking, well dressed, and he gave us his name and he said he represents a company that will make our lives much easier to deal with credit cards and this and the other, and less percentage, we'll be paying less percentage and less expenses. After considering it for a couple of hours and days, and we trusted the man, and I said, okay, let's do it. Now, it was a long process. After a couple of weeks, we got all the papers, and we got the machines and things, and I realized, and my wife realized, that we had made a mistake, because we had signed on the dotted line about things that we really did not understand. His promises were not true. And yet, when I called Texas and then somewhere else, they said, oh, I'm sorry, sir, you've signed already. That's what happens when we listen to peddlers who come into our lives and pretend to be selling something that is going to make our life easier and better and more pleasurable and more happier. That's where the book of George Carlin comes in. He says that the opposite is true, actually. We have taller buildings but shorter tempers, wider freeways but narrower viewpoints. We spend more but we have less. We buy more but we enjoy less. We have bigger houses but smaller families, more conveniences but less time. We have more degrees but less sense, more knowledge but less judgment, more experts yet more problems, more medicine but less wellness. We drink too much, spend too recklessly, laugh too little, drive too fast, get too angry, stay up too late, get up too tired, watch TV too much, and pray seldom. We talk too much, love too seldom, and hate too often. Now, this is not only happening in the world of material things, but it is also happening in the spiritual world. There are all sorts of people, groups, organizations, and religions are out there who are eager to peddle their products, ideas, methods, books, and whatever else for a profit, and the competition is fierce. They all claim that their product or message works for sure, and that joy and happiness is yours just for asking it, or rather by purchasing their product or joining their group or their organization. A spiritual high will be very short-lived if we trust these salesmen. Actually, millions of people have been swept by the current and they think it's working for them. That is because the world has rediscovered, or rather, the devil has reintroduced the goddess of pleasure and sensuality. The devil did that by repackaging the old product of sensual and sinful passions and renaming them, or renaming it, joyfulness and happiness. Logic and wisdom say, do not play with fire and do not skate on thin ice. But few years ago, Revlon, in a 2-page advertisement in Chatelaine magazine, promoted a perfume with the slogan, listen to this, play with fire, skate on thin ice. Some sensual advice to all women. Play with fire, skate on thin ice. That's exactly what is happening today. Young people and older men and women don't really consider the consequences and the results of their actions when they buy into the sales pitches of whoever for their product. Pleasure or feeling good seems to be the ultimate goal for most people today. And usually the question asked is not, is that the truth? Or is that good for me physically and spiritually? But rather the question is, how much pleasure do I get out of it? Or does it feel good? In other words, to what heights of pleasure do I get with it? The logic seems to be, if it feels good, if it gives you pleasure, do it, no matter what. This warped logic says the more pleasure a product gives, the better it is. And sad to say that this applies to almost every area of our life. And I mean every area. Food, drugs, alcohol, sex, relationships, religion. Yes, even religion. Very often people join a religion or religious group not because they have found the truth, or to worship God, or to save God, serve God and others, but primarily for the amount of pleasure they hope to get out of that religion or group. The idea is this: I'm going to go to a place where my spirits are lifted high, and I feel good, and I feel like jumping, and I feel like God has touched my soul, and I'm going to sing, I'm going to do all kinds of things, and I'm going to go home. And they go home, and nothing has changed. Because everything is based on the emotional, how they felt, and emotions. The product has been offered, and yet that product is not doing them any good. There's nothing wrong in getting pleasure out of worshiping God in the church or wherever. There's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, that is how it should be. There is great pleasure in worshiping God. But it becomes a problem when pleasure becomes the main reason and preoccupation of worshiping God thrill-seeking worship is temporary and short-lived at best. A spiritual high will be very short-lived if it is the result of a beautiful melody or a song or even prayer, unless that beautiful melody, song, or prayer is the result of knowing and worshiping God, knowing and worshiping and following God. Be careful when people try to sell you pleasure, happiness, and joy. Read the small print. Look for the source, not only at what appears to be promises or promising, but what will that lead to. Jesus was not and is not a salesman of pleasure. He is the giver of peace, joy, and happiness. He said in John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Of course, it is difficult for me this morning to speak to you about joy and happiness without sounding just like another salesman of promises, another peddler peddling a message. And so I will not promise you that if you come forward this morning and we pray for you, you'll become the happiest person on earth, and that rivers of joy will flow within you and you will have no more pains or problems. I will not promise you that. No, I cannot promise you that, actually, because that will be a lie. But what I can honestly tell you and promise you, based on the Word of God and my own experience, is the joy, happiness, and the pleasure of living are found neither in material nor spiritual things unless God is in them. Unless God is in them, unless God makes you jump up and down at your home, that other jumping will be some emotional thing. Unless you are, when you are at home alone, yesterday my wife and my daughter went to the women's prayer day, or the day of prayer, and I was alone and I was listening to some spiritual hymns that I brought with me from Armenia, and I was carefully listening to the words, and all of a sudden I said, "You know what gives me the pleasure? The music is great, but those words that penetrate my soul and make me think of God and make me think of His love and make me humble myself before His throne, and I say, Lord, who am I to love me so much?" And that gave me the greatest pleasure, knowing that God loves me the way I am, and yet He can fix me, He can better me, He can chisel away all the rough spots. The process may be painful. And yet, that's what joy and happiness is. To know that you are in the hands of the master builder. True joy is found only in God. Psalm 16, verse 11. "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." The music cannot give me those eternal pleasures. It can give me some pleasure. The choir cannot give me eternal pleasures, although it may give me some pleasure. The sermon of the pastor cannot give me eternal joy and happiness unless that comes from God, and I accepted it from the hands of God, and His message came from His breath, the Bible. So, to peddle a product that will not better the life of someone is what we should avoid. Isaiah said in Isaiah 12:3, we read, True joy is the result of salvation, and I quote, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." Salvation is what gives us joy, and not following a peddler, a salesman with his messages. The joy that comes from God through Christ is complete, the Bible says. John 16:24 says, "Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." The joy of the Lord is perfect. It brings peace and happiness in our lives. It helps us to enjoy the pleasures of life like never before, and puts a smile and a song on our lips even when things are not going well. No, joy and happiness is not being in a continuous state of painless and problemless existence, full of pleasures and continuous spiritual high. Yes, perfect and lasting joy is a reality for the true believer. And thank God, it does not depend on our moods and circumstances, but in spite of them. To know that you are hands of your Creator is something that gives you the greatest hope, the greatest pleasure, the greatest protection, the greatest feeling of being saved. But the problem is, today we preach a religion, we practice a religion that has put an obstacle, has put a curtain between us and the truth. The breath of God, which is the Bible, has stopped being a breath of God, has been only a dictionary or a guide to guide us through some things, rather than feeding us daily and rather going to the Bible for to be renewed and to feed on it. We have the Bible as a reference book, because now we read what number one evangelist said, number two evangelist says, the pastor, what the pastor says, what this writer says, what this philosopher says, and at the end we say, let me check. That's not how it is. This is the breath of God, and I believe the only lasting joy and happiness comes directly from the mouth of God and not from the mouths of peddlers. Now, as I said, you look at me, someone may look at me and say, "You sound just like a peddler." Yes, that's true, but the only thing that I'm selling or trying to pass on to you is the Word of God. And if I have said anything, and if I have presented the Word of God in any way that is not now from the Bible, from this book, please don't listen to it and erase it from your minds. As a matter of fact, my prayer is that God will erase it from our minds. The joy God gives is made of heavenly materials and sustained by the power of His Holy Spirit. The joy God gives is made of heavenly material and sustained by the power of His Holy Spirit. The true believer rejoices even in suffering. Romans 5:3 says, "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance." The unbelievers cannot understand the mental and spiritual state of the believer. How can they, when it seems to be so unnatural? I believe what God puts in our life, I believe the life that God creates in us is not natural. Because naturally, we are not lovers of real love. We are selfish, as the chief rabbi said, we have created a society and the church has become part of this society of I. That's why they call him, he said, iPod, iPhone, I this, I that, whatever, you deserve it. And should have said I at the end, but he didn't, I think. What I'm saying is this, let's go back to our very basic instructor, God himself. We were studying together this morning Paul's instructions to Timothy, how we should take care, how we should look after our widows, and how we should treat our women in the church, how we should treat the elderly women, how we should our relationship should be with the younger women in the church, and all these are in the book, and yet we have more problems even in the churches of our relationship with elderly women, young women, our distorted understanding of what the Bible says makes it very difficult to even love each other, let alone love those who are in difficult situations. 2 Corinthians 6:10. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. Having nothing, and yet possessing everything. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Philippians 4:4. How is your joy? Is it complete, or it needs some boosting or even restoring? Or maybe you have never experienced the complete joy of the Lord. I believe that unless you allow, every one of us, unless we allow the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit to get a hold of our daily activities, daily life, and plan it for us, and you say, okay, now you sound just like those lazy men who and women who say, okay, I'm going to wait for God to do the planning for me. I asked once a young man once, what about marriage? He says, oh, pastor, I'm not looking anywhere. I'm not doing anything at all. I want God to send me a woman. I said, if she comes along, will you know that God sent her? He says, no, I don't know. He's going to tell me that he's just sent her. Well, that may be true. And yet, God has given us a mind to know what message is right and what message is wrong. What this peddler or salesman or this person or that professor or that teacher is offering and what the Bible says. And I believe the real joy, I'm not here to say that a Christian should be a sad person. I'm not saying that a Christian should not have joy and peace. As a matter of fact, what I'm saying is just the opposite. That knowing that you are in the hands of God and directed by the Holy Spirit makes your life so pleasurable, even when you are going through a difficult period of time. Because you know that whatever you're going through is known to God, and He is in control. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being so loving, compassionate. Please forgive us for very often trying to make our lives better by our own efforts, or by trying to copy other people, or listening to messages that don't even come from your word. Strengthen our faith. Give us a spirit of discernment to be able to discern what is right and what is wrong, what comes from you and what comes from the world. And Lord, help us to not only say that we are Christians, but to reflect you in our daily life and reach out and bring the good news to others. In your blessed name I pray, amen.